And I have two of my amazing co-hosts, Frank Fiore, frankfiore.com, and Paul Hollis, paulhollisauthor.com, and the hollowmanseries.com. Appreciate it, guys. And we have an amazing guest today. It's Bob DeMars. And Bob, you're going to talk about your line of vodka, right? Is that correct? It's vodka.
It's whiskey.
Whiskey, vodka. See, I'm not a big hard drinker. Whiskey, your line of whiskey. But how did that start? You talked about your film banking background. Go into that a little bit.
Well, it's funny they mentioned vodka. So we're a blind whiskey tasting company. And if we did that with vodka, we would have no members because it would neutral grain spirits would be like, yep, it's vodka. They're all vodka and we can't differentiate. But my backdrop of filmmaker, I went to USC actually on a football scholarship. I was the business school and I was the first player in the film school there. And so when I got out, started a test prep company basically so I could pay the bills while I'm taking risks. Which I still run and operate and is successful and allows me to continue to take risks like the whiskey company. I've made some documentaries. I made one about the that took on the NCAA called The Business of Amateurs. And it was about the disparity in the money gap of the players that they're earning for the school and the coaches and that what they don't have access to. It was about academic integrity. And then CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Encephalopathy. It's a hard word to say. And really these guys that are trading these ephemeral moments of glory, basically their long-term mental health for these ephemeral moments of glory. And so the film came out and it made some waves and, I'm on the oversight committee for the nonprofit that created NIL laws, which is name, image, and likeness. And we started in California and we passed a bill and played 5 minutes of my film at the state Senate hearings. We replicated in 12 other states because the fastest way to change the system sometimes is just competition. You know, no one wanted California to get all the best athletes by offering NIL. And then we got to the Supreme Court about 2 years ago and overnight everything changed. And so super proud of that film. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, filmmaking shut down, test prep shut down. And my buddy was doing blind tastings with whiskey to bring everybody together. And I just was blown away. I'd done it with wine before. I'd never done it with whiskey. I had no idea that whiskey could be so nuanced and different on such a wider spectrum than wine was. And I fell in love with it. And I painstakingly was that I'm going to figure nobody's ever done this. And there's a reason. And the liquor laws are heavily restrictive. And, you know, we're not in a basement with a funnel pouring, you know, liquor into our bottles. There's a lot of steps. There's a lot of partnerships. And, I just kept doing free hour-long consultations with ABC alcohol beverage control attorneys until I figured out a way to do it.
Wow. Okay. Now, so Bobby, you're more than that. So you played, ball for who in football? College football?
So USC, the University of Southern California. No disrespect to people on the East Coast who might think, oh, is that the Gamecocks? And it's like, yeah, USC.
No, I know who the real USC is, but so you're a top D1 player then. In your career.
Yeah, no, I was an All-American, and I didn't start till my senior year until Pete Carroll got there. You know, everybody that loved me got fired 3 months into my freshman year and told me to transfer, and, you know, I went to USC for a lot of reasons. I turned down Harvard and Stanford to go to SC. I wouldn't have gotten to Harvard and Stanford without football. That's reality. But I turned down those schools specifically because of the film school at SC is the best film school in the world. And the business scholars program, you can study businesses in undergrad instead of finance and econ. Pete Carroll came in. I was on the starting defense with Troy Polamalu and, grateful for those experiences. And I'd say the work ethic that, you know, being in two demanding majors along with, 80 hours of football a week definitely makes hard days, seem pretty easy when you think about the 3 days we had to do for 24 days straight. Of course, they changed all the laws for that as soon as I graduated. And I was like, oh.
All right. Go ahead, Frank. What questions do you have?
Whiskey, yeah, I loved it. I'm a bourbon man myself, and I love the tastings that they have here. They have tastings here in Prescott, and I love going to that, especially tasting their bourbons. So what would you say is the most popular bourbon being sold in America today?
If you're going by bourbon rules, technically it's Jack Daniels, but Jack Daniels doesn't call themselves a bourbon. They actually check every box, but they're considered Tennessee whiskey because they do a maple charcoal filter thing at the end. But there's a big debate in the whiskey community about, you know, what is in terms of what's most popular in terms of what's sold. Obviously, they're selling the most whiskey if you're looking at it. But, you know, everyone chases certain bottles. They chase Wellers, and they chase, you know, that weeded bourbon, which also comes from the Stitzel Weller line, which is also Pappy Van Winkle. So you'll see a lot of allocated bottles, which are bottles that aren't easily accessible, and people chase these bottles. And, you know, what we discovered is there's some craft, you know, there's 3,000 craft brands in the country that you don't know about. And that's because distribution really controls who gets the shelf space. So you could be making the best whiskey in the country and nobody would know about it except for people in your hometown or even your home state. So when we created this model, we wanted to, there's nothing special about putting Bulleit and Maker's Mark and Michter's and Jack Daniel's into a lineup. You know, if you can go to your Total Wine at BevMo, your Liquor Barn or your 7-Eleven or whatever, and buy these bottles, there's nothing special about that. So we wanted to feature small American craft distillers and give people access to these brands they couldn't try or buy in any other way. And then if they want a bottle, they can buy a bottle for less than if they were at the distillery. But I mean, to answer your question, look, I love, you know, I got a bottle of Old Forester single barrel that a buddy picked. So it's not that, you know, I got some Smoke Wagon over here, which is some craft, and, you know, and this bottle, I can't tell you what it is, 'cause it's going to be in a future lineup, is maybe the best whiskey I've ever had, is going to be in our June lineup. And so it's finding rarities like that. And when you even get like a, you know, the whiskey nerds or the bourbon snobs that are very, I only drink, you know, Willett Purple Tops and Midwinter Night's Dram and these allocated hard to find bottles. And I have those too. I'm looking at a shelf that has a bunch of those, but I've got some bottles in our lineup that rival those that are made by small American craft distillers. And that's what we do. We showcase and highlight these small American businesses.
Great. I'd like to ask you about this. Over the last decade or so, a couple of decades, the big brand name whiskeys have come up with all these different flavored apple, this cherry, that. What's your opinion of the flavored whiskeys?
You know, it's like the peanut butter whiskey, right? And so a lot of the flavored whiskey out there is flavored chemically. And we basically have a rule. We have a few rules. One is we only feature craft. We don't have a problem with people that source. A lot of people source from Indiana's Midwest Grain Product or Dickel or Bardstown, as long as they're blending it or the finishing it or doing something that, rather than just white labeling it. We want our bottles to retail for at least $50, you know, so that way people feel like they're getting something special. There are some $35 bottles out there like Pikesville that kill in a lineup, but so that's not a hard line that we'll cross. But the flavored whiskey, we haven't gotten into, mainly because a lot of whiskey drinkers, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It definitely is hard to put it in a lineup, but we do have a maple infused bourbon that's going to be in our lineup. And it's out of Vermont, where they make the best, you know, maple syrup, and it's not a barrel finish. It's infusion. So a lot of people, when they infuse actual maple, they probably put in 20-25%, and it's very mapley, whereas this one's doing about 5%. So it's very subtle. So I'd say we are technically, is that a flavored whiskey? It is. It's a naturally flavored whiskey. It's the first time we're doing it. And I'm not, hey, you know, we're not bourbon snobs either. You want to drink your bourbon with crushed ice, or mix it with orange juice, or do something, you know, that's left of center, you know, hey, everyone, you do you. There's no rules for that. You know, wherever you are in your whiskey journey, you know, I got 20 people in a room that'll like sample A and a few people that'll hate it. And the same will be true for B, C, and D. So,
all right. You like, Paul, do you have any questions about whiskey?
This might be a strange question, but you said you do a blind taste test, right?
Correct.
But you also said you do with Zoom. I mean, I was wondering how that worked, like when people are kind of tuning in, because they'll know which whiskey they're drinking, right? If they have it in front of them.
I mean, if they want to. So what happens is people get a soft touch gold leaf box that's just a really cool, awesome, just packaging. Okay. And then it says samples A, B, C, and D with our label on it. And then there's a tasting table that helps you pick out aromas and finishes and flavors to kind of jar that memory. And we kind of converted the whiskey wheel, if you've ever seen that, into a table. And then there's a QR code, and that QR code then takes you to a reveal page. And when you click on an envelope, it'll tell you obviously the bottle and the SKU from it is from what distillery it is, the age statement, the proof, the mash bill. So is it a bourbon? Is it a rye? Is it a wheat? Is it a blend? It's an American single malt. And then the aroma notes, the tasting notes, the finish, and then the backstory of the distillery. So you get a whole in-depth reveal. I mean, if we didn't tell you what the whiskey was, that'd be horrible, right? That would just be like, what are we doing here? And then when we do a live tasting, we basically send a link out to all our members. And if you want to join a live Zoom, we do two of them, and we do a bunch of, you know, bottle and merchandise giveaways. And it's just a chance for us to engage with our members. I think when people start a business, that's one of the things that they want to act like they're this massive company. And I pretty much do all of our customer service emails. We don't get a ton of them, but if somebody has an issue, if somebody has a problem, if somebody has a question, I used to write back Blind Barrel support team. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say that it's me, the founder and CEO. All my members have my cell phone number.
And that's great. You know,
I have a bat phone. If they want to text us different distilleries that they discover on the path, we've had a few that have come into our lineup from our members finding some off the beaten trail distillery. And we learned about that in our Zooms. And yeah, the last one we did went 3 hours and we gave away a ton of stuff. And it was wild and fun. And we get to know these people. You know, there's a lot of really cool people that are members. And I think when you create that tangibility with your brand and the people behind it, that authenticity, if it is authentic, comes across.
Totally. Great. Now, Mike, so tell us about the test prep. What's your test prepping? What do you do for
test prep? So I run a test prep company called Transcend Educational Group, and my partner's a neuroscientist. So we do mindfulness infused into SAT, ACT, college application, essay storytelling. We do some neurofeedback and things like that as well. But, you know, ultimately, you know, when kids take tests, they're half of the test is mental and not just building the skills and the tools, but, you know, we give them life skills that are how to take on pressure situations and how to be mindful, which is ultimately being present, focused in the moment. It's funny. I've taken that into the whiskey company too. Like the whole idea of tasting whiskey rather than we're not doing shots here. We're grounding ourselves in the moment with the company that we're in, and focusing on the aromas and the flavors. I mean, I can sit with a glass of whiskey for an hour and a half, you know, while I'm playing with my kids and really remind me to enjoy the moment, to be present. And, you know, we constantly are in this state of worry, right, about what hasn't happened yet. And we like to shame ourselves with the past, and we're not wired to be connected to the moment for a lot of reasons, you know, physiologically and the way we've evolved. So the test prep company was really founded to give these kids these tools, you know, whether they're ready to see it or not, how to train them to click their brain into the flow state.
That's so interesting. And because I'm a former educator, I don't know if you checked my background. So I had a tutoring company back in the day. What I'm intrigued about is you said bioneurofeedback. So do you have a center too where people go to like get any type of that? So I got bioneurofeedback and different things in Dallas, where they put the thing on my, you know, some of those types of brain trainings, and they're unbelievable. It's
yeah. So the sensors and the machines. So my partner, you know, we're not traditional test prep people. Most people are doing test prep as a means to on the way to something else. There's not a lot of people that do it as a career. And I'll admit, I did the same thing. I started it mainly I was trying to make movies, and I was doing, you know, startups and other different risky things. And this, you can't be creative and desperate is what I discovered pretty quickly. And you can't just, you know, go back, hey, mom and dad, remember when I gave up my knees and my long-term mental health for my scholarship? Do you think you can film me for 6 months? You know, you can only do that so many times. And so my partner, who's also was a college athlete at Cornell, and became a neuroscientist. So, you know, I thought there was a great and did this as a career, and we infused that so that neurofeedback really helps people understand how their brain's functioning in what way. You know, yeah, there's some kids that are neurodivergent. You know, I wouldn't say everybody's ready for that. You know, but the families that are that want to approach it, you know, that some parents just don't want to know that their kids have ADD or that they're on the spectrum. And I think if you know the challenge, you're never going to solve you know, your neurodivergence. You're never going to solve your anxiety. I have an anxiety disorder, actually. I talk about it in the film that I made, because it probably stems from the subconcussive blows that I had from football. And I like to talk about it publicly, mainly because I think it dispels the myth. I can do live television and
absolutely
people and do all these things that are fear inducing and panic inducing externally. And I think by dispelling that, it helps kids to know that they're not alone. It helps former athletes that I work with to know that they're not alone. But yeah, the mental side of, I mean, when we do test prep, we, you know, a lot of people don't know that a lot of money merit-based money is tied to your test scores. And my students, you know, cumulatively get somewhere between $4 and $5 million in merit-based money solely for their test score. So there's the intrinsic value of, hey, I'm getting into Brown instead of Michigan because of this test score. But there's the actual extrinsic value. Oh, I paid X amount of dollars, 100%. But I'm getting a 2,000% return on my investment.
Now, right? If you had concussions, you need to see Dr. Charles Simkovich. Look him up, SimkovichConcussionInstitute.com. He's a guru when it comes to reversing concussions and CTE. He is changing the game. He's already doing research on it. And I'm absolutely blown away by him. And he's worked with the retired NHL and he's looking to work with other organizations. So he works with the military as well. I want to connect you guys definitely to his wife. And there's some great things they're doing. They're out of Pittsburgh, but they get people. There was one guy that was from American Ninja Warrior, couldn't taste or smell. After done with him, he was back tasting and smelling again.
Well, are they using hyperbaric chambers?
No, they're not. This is a different type of thing. He's the one of the only specialists out there in the game.
Nice.
He's looking to expand that all over the country at one point in time. So check him out. Wow. All right. So I would appreciate it. Bobby, best place people can find information on you. Where can they go?
Just go to blindbarrels.com. And, you know, hey, if you use the code FREEGLASS, we'll send you a tasting glass if you do a quarterly subscription. If you do an annual, I'll send you 4 custom glass, you know, Glencairn tasting glasses. So if you go to Blind Barrels, use the code free glass and, you know, join our whiskey community, come onto our lives and get access to these killer brands that you couldn't buy or try in any other way.
All right. Appreciate it, sir. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.